and that we understand that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we continue on to live in this life, and that the Lord continues to supply our needs and continues to take care of us. And I thank God for that. He is Abba Father. He is Daddy. He is who He is. Who He is what He does, and not just what He does, but who He is. He is our Lord and He is our Savior. If you have your Bibles today, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit for those that are in the sanctuary today. We want to thank those for watching today. Again, my prayers are something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get in God's Word today. Go with me to Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Luke's Gospel 24 and 13. The title of my message today is this: The Road to Recognition. The Road to Recognition. We're going to look here a little bit that after the crucifixion, after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, something took place after resurrection. And I want you to look at this because I know that there are roads that we are on in our life. Some can be on a good road going the right way. Some could be on the wrong road going the wrong way. But I want you to look here today as we open up here in God's Word about some of the disciples that were on the road of Emmaus. And I want you to look at this on how quick the Lord and Savior begins to join them and they don't even realize what is going on. So let's look at this story here. Luke's 24 and 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling, and this is the story, that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. I want you to watch this. But their eyes were restrained, and so they did not know Him. And He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?" They're saying this to Jesus, don't even know who He is. "And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And He said to them, Jesus asked the question, "What things?" And so they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him." Verse 21, "But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things had happened. Yes, and certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find His body. And they came saying that He had also seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but Him they did not see. And then He said to them, 'O foolish one, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning him. And then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went into the stay with them. And now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then, look at verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they took about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do you doubt your doubt? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, see me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Can I hear amen to God's word? I want you to know today that it does not matter what you and I are going through. Doesn't matter what road that we are on. I want to encourage you to know that God is on that road with you. Whether you're making a right choice or whether you're making a wrong choice, God is there with you in the midst of everything of the road that you're going on. These two men were going for 7 miles to walk and say, "Where is this man Jesus? They've killed him. They've buried him. I thought he was going to come save us. I thought he was going to start his kingdom. I thought everything was going to be good. We followed him. We saw his works. We saw everything. But it just seems like it's just one big lie because they destroyed him. He's dead. He's gone." And yet Jesus heard all of the grief, of the conversation, of the doubts, the fears, the anxieties, everything. I want you to know today, God sees the fears, the anxieties, and the things that you go through because he's moved by compassion. He knows what you and I go through. People can size you up and down and tell you what you are and what you need to do and this and that and the other, but Jesus looks at the heart of man. Man looks on the outer appearance, but the Lord Jesus Christ sees your heart and knows exactly what you're going through, and he is the one that's going to sustain you and take care of you every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know in Luke 24 and 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and had appeared to Simon. There was proof in the pudding, if I can say, that Jesus, hallelujah, rose from the dead, that He went with the disciples. He was walking with the disciples. You see, the enemy wants us to feel like that there's no hope. The enemy wants us to feel like there's no need. Throw your hands up. Throw in the towel. Forget it. Walk away. Do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. Say what you want to say. Go where you want to go. And yet lose completely control. When we're out of control is when Jesus Christ is not a part of our life. We are in control when Jesus Christ is a part of our life. It doesn't mean that we're going to be on cloud nine. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be some tests. There's going to be some trials. There are temptations along the way, but Jesus Christ is on the road with you. He's not off the trail. He's not looking back. He sees you. He is on that road with you. He is walking with you. He's talking with you. He is sharing with you. You're saying, well, how can He do it, Pastor? He can do it by His Spirit, in His Spirit, and through His Spirit that will sustain you and strengthen you every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The most important question ever asked, is Christ indeed risen? Is He risen? If He did not rise, faith is worthless. But He rose. 1 Corinthians 15:17, the Apostle Paul writes and says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But praise be to the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, bled and died, arose on the third day, seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, He has victory as we have victory in our hearts and in our lives. If He did not rise, there's no hope of heaven. But He did. 1 Corinthians 15:18, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. But now we have life. Now they have life because Jesus Christ bled and died. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Understand, the scripture says it's not a death, it's a sleep. Those that have gone before you, they're just asleep because they're going to rise. They're going to split. Hallelujah. They're going to split that grave wide open when the Lord Jesus Christ splits the sky, eastern skies. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which remain will be caught up in heaven, will be caught up in the air with them. So shall they live, and we live forever. God has promised us, as He says, I am building a mansion. I am building it for you. I want to let you know where I will be. You will be there also. God has clearly let us know. So understand today, whatever road that you're walking on, whatever road that you're following, whether it's good or bad, listen, God is not a God with a billy bat making you do anything. It is a choice on the road that you go on. It's a choice for the road that you go on, whether you're going on the right road or whether you're going on the wrong road. But I want you to know today, when you hook up with the Lord Jesus Christ and you get on the right road, I promise you the road will end great. And there will be a great and mighty ending of that. But if you get on the wrong road, it's going to be destruction. It's going to be agony, defeat. It's going to be destroying you as you go down the wrong road. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go down the wrong road. I want to go down the right road because I want to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is with me every step of the way. Looking in on a convinced crowd. They had doubt His promise, but now they believe. Some had visited the tomb and found that it was empty. Others had met Jesus along the way, and their conclusion was, the Lord is risen indeed. Can you imagine after Christ had died, everything had ended, and everybody's going their own way. Peter's going to go and fish. These two disciples are going back to Emmaus. The celebration has taken place. The feast has taken place. Crucifixion, the Passover, has taken place. In the tomb he went, and some disciples said, well, that's it. Our Savior is dead. He's not coming out. And down the road of Emmaus, they had conversations about the things that Christ did. But they did one thing, and the one thing was they forgot that he was going to come back. They had forgotten to know that Christ had promised them that I will be back, and on the third day I will arise. And it's so easy when we get caught up in our situations of our problems that we forget about the Lord. We forget about what's going on because we're so caught up in ourselves. We're so caught up in our circumstance. We're so caught up in our situation. And we forget about who the Savior is. We, even as Christians, we will forget. We will call on Him last and execute everything else that's around us. Folks, I want you to know as Christians today, we need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ in the small things as well as the big things. We don't need to let Him be the last resort. We need to let Him be number one in our life at the very beginning in everything that we do. Don't make no decision until you talk with Jesus. Don't make no decision on the bad road or a road that you're going on. Talk with Jesus before you get on that road so that God can be with you and that you will be with Him every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My first point today is this. These words speak of the Lord. These words speak of the Lord. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. Just because you have problems and circumstances and situations doesn't mean that Jesus cannot handle them. He can handle them. We've got to let Him take charge in our hearts and life. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." Our mind is not saved. Garbage comes in, garbage will come out. If good things come in, good things are going to come out. Therefore, that's why the Apostle Paul says, transform by the renewing of. There is a transformation that takes place daily. I want you to understand it's a daily transformation of the risen Lord and Savior in our life. We just don't celebrate Easter and resurrection just on Sunday or the one Sunday out of the year. We celebrate resurrection every day. Every day. Why? Because He's risen. You have the power. You have the victory. Now you have it being in charge of what the Lord Jesus Christ has assigned to you through your assignment in your walk with life. Why? You can hold your head up high, give the world a smile, and tell them, I know who my Redeemer is. I know who my Lord is. I know who I'm serving. And I know He's a God that's not dead, but He's a God that's alive. He's a God that's well. He's a God that will answer and move in a mighty way in my life. Listen, since He is risen, they said they know Him. He is Lord. Remember the past impressions of some of them. Some thought He was just a great man. Oh yeah, He was a great man, but He's dead now. Some thought He was a prophet. Yeah, He was a great prophet, but He's dead now. Some thought He would deliver them from Rome's power. That's why they wanted the kingdom set up, that they would be clear from Roman's power. Now they know. And they had underestimated Him, the Christ. The resurrection sets Christ apart from others. Hear me today. The resurrection sets Christ apart from all others. Listen, I want to go a step further. The resurrection sets Christ apart from all other gods, from all other religion. There's no other religion that can touch the mighty move of Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, grown, had family, felt pain, felt things. He was formed just like you. He had a body just like you. He ate broiled fish. He began to do and have His way. And guess what? He went to the cross as He sat in Gethsemane, as He begged and pleaded from God, as sweat became drops of blood. He began to pray and say, Lord, let this cup pass. But God did not say, let it pass, but He said, let it be done. And Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And He went to the cross, nailed to the tree, and they begin to pierce Him. They begin to kill Him, put the thorns in, and begin to stab Him. But praise be to the Lamb of God. He arose on the third day, and He's seated with the right hand of the Father, and therefore we have victory, and He can walk on the road with you every day of your life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. My second point today is these words speak of life. Not only does it speak of God, but these words speak of life. The Lord is risen indeed. So much of their past has spoken of death, the betrayal and the beating of Jesus Christ, the way of sorrows to the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial by Joseph and Nicodemus, doubts on the first Easter morning. They were in despair over what had happened. The woman came to embalm His body. They turned redemption into a ritual. The resurrection changed everything. Folks, hear me today. Resurrection changed everything. The disciples were trying to do everything they could to prepare His body to get a proper burial, but He was not going to stay. He was going to arise. Why? Because He was going to arise for you and I, that our sins were paid on Calvary's cross, and that you and I can have the victory. Listen, if Jesus had not risen, you wouldn't have victory today. If Jesus had not bled and died on the cross, you wouldn't have victory today. But because of the cross, because of resurrection, it was necessary so that you and I would not die a death, but you and I, to be absent from this body, will be present with our Lord and Savior. There will be a transformation that will take place. There will be a new body built by God. This is the mortal body, but you will take on immortality, and therefore it'll be a body that's built by God. And when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Bible says, and when you see Him, you will be like Him. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen, resurrection changed everything. The uniqueness of the gospel is that it brings life. The gospel brings life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the great gospels that we look at, that give us vivid descriptions of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what He will continue to do. Not only do these words speak of life, but my third point today, these words speak of love. These words speak of love. Our Lord and Savior loves us. My mother and daddy used to sing a song many, many years ago. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I'm weak and when I'm strong. It doesn't matter what position you are in your life and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. Everybody else around you might size you up and say you're not holy. But the Bible also tells me in the Old Testament, be not holier than thou, that you're earthly no good. We can go around and say what you are and what you're not, But listen, when it comes down to it, you've got to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And guess what the Bible says? And when it's appointed unto man once to die, and then, not heaven, then the judgment of everything that we said. So man has no control of that. Man can tell you all day long who you are, what you're not, all that. You will stand as they that's telling you, if they are, they've got to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have to give an account. And my friend, we must be very careful about what we say and what we do and how we act, because everything will be revealed on that day. And I want you to know today that God loves us. Just because somebody's not living right, just because somebody's not living like you want them to live, it is not for us to execute them and turn them away. It's for us to embrace them and love them. Because Jesus is love. He loves us. And that's when the world, when we love one another, that's when the Lord, when the world sees the love of God, when they see the love that we have for others. Listen, I'm not saying love the sin. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Because we're disciples, we're servants. We have a new road that we're walking now. There's a new road. We're not on an old road. We're not on the wrong road. We're trying to stay on the right road. But we're going to love people where they're at and say, listen, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Yesterday, we were cleaning out my sister's house, and her house eventually will be going up for sale. And my sister was blessed. She had so much stuff. I use that word, stuff, because she always said that. She would always look around her house and say, Tim, this is nothing but stuff. This is stuff. This doesn't matter to me. And so as we were cleaning, there was one of the bedroom suits that we had. And we found out that there was a gentleman that didn't have any furniture. He was sleeping on an air mattress in an apartment. So we found out about that. And so I told my wife, and she had said something to me. I said, let's bless him with some furniture. Let's give him some furniture. And so we did. And it was so wonderful to see the look on this guy's face. He is from the country Sri Lanka, and so we learned of him through my wife and my wife's friend and everything. And so we loaded up my truck, and we took the furniture over there. We set it up, set his bed up and everything. He was so excited and so happy because he had been sleeping on a blow-up mattress for a long time. And so we come in with two nightstands, a full-size, queen-size bed, and we gave him some other things, and he just lit up just like a Christmas tree. He was so excited. Had nothing to give us, but just shook my hand, and he says, bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so we shared the love. His religion is Buddha. And I thought about it for a moment. I thought, you know, can Buddha really give the love? Can Buddha really do the things that he says he can? And I answered my question and I said, no, he can't. But this guy saw the love towards him and the love of Christ towards him, because we were willing to give, not for us to get recognition, but because God had blessed me and my family, I want to turn around and bless somebody else that's less fortunate. And folks, that's the way that we must be. Because that's the road that Jesus is walking today. He's walking to see, will we bless somebody less fortunate? Will we do what we can? And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not rich. I don't have all this and I don't have all that. But you know, it's the little things that Jesus sees. Because the woman had the widow mite, and she gave all that she had, but it wasn't much. But Jesus said it was a lot. Forget about everything else. God sees the heart of man, and He sees the heart of the woman, and He sees when you give from your heart, then God brings blessings, and He will bless you as you give, because that's the road that Jesus wants you to walk. That's the road that Jesus wants you to follow. That's the road that He's seeing as He seeks those that give from their heart. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is God that gives. It is God that takes. It is God that brings you into this world, and it is God that will take you out of this world. But Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know who my Redeemer is. Even his wife said, you know you've sinned, Job. You know you've done wrong. He looked at his wife and said, you speak as a foolish woman, because I know who my God is. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. That's the road that the Lord Jesus Christ is seeing from us. Jesus says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. When you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. Listen, Jesus in my closing had appeared to Simon. Jesus answered to the man who had denied him. Cowardly Simon Peter. That's the coward of Simon Peter. He was cowardly. He was the cussing Simon Peter that we see in the Bible. But Jesus loved him. Even when he denied him three times, even when he lied and said, I don't know who the Lord and Savior is, he still loved him. God still loves us. And while there's breath and while there's life that you're living today, God will not stop loving you. He will love you all the way. Listen, the resurrection declares God's love for sinners. The resurrection offers forgiveness to backsliders. Listen, in my closing today, the living Lord loves you and I today. The cross, if you don't get anything else today out of my sermon, I want you to understand this. The cross proves His love to you and I today. The cross says it all. He loves us. And the resurrection, listen to this today, the resurrection guarantees not your power, not somebody else's power, but the resurrection guarantees His power, and His power to save that which is lost. God is our saving grace. God is our living hope. God loves you and I. And all that we can do is fully surrender, as you've heard me say, fully surrender His Lordship, fully surrender to Him, and say, God, I don't get it right all the time. Jesus, I messed up today. But you know what? It's nothing for us to go down on our knee and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings. Lord, forgive me through the temptations that I may have failed in. Maybe the test that I have failed in. Lord, I'm coming to you again. And that's what He wants. Because God, guess what? He's our Father. He's Daddy. I remember when my dad was living, I could go to my dad. I could tell my dad anything. And my dad would not crucify me, but my dad would love me. And my dad would hug me and say, "Son, just give it to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of everything." And you know what? It's comforting to know that you have a dad that can say that to you and comfort you. You may say, "Well, I don't have a father." No, I don't either. My father's dead and gone. But guess what? I have a heavenly father. I have a heavenly father. And I can go to the heavenly father and I can say, "Dad, I really messed up today. But Lord, you extend mercy. You extend mercy with open arms to forgive." And guess what? He forgives and he forgets. Because it's thrown in the sea of forgiveness. Never to be anymore. Oh, people remind you of what you've done in your past. Oh, they'll try to say everything. Jesus doesn't. Because he forgives and he forgets. That's the love of God that you and I will never understand. We'll never understand. But it is by the grace of God that you're here today. Stand with me across the building today. I don't know what road that you're traveling today. You may be on the right road, and that's great. But you might be on the wrong road, and that's not good. But whatever road that you're traveling today, I want you to know Jesus is on that road with you. And he hears everything about you and knows everything about you on that road that you're traveling. Don't think for a moment, because these two disciples had done forgotten about Jesus because he's in a tomb. They left him and walked away and said, "Well, that's it. He's not coming out of there. The Romans have sealed it. He's not coming out." And they went on their own way and was going back to their own homeland. But as they were walking, Jesus heard their conversation. Jesus hears your conversation. He knows your heart. He knows the intent of your heart. He knows whether you have right motives or wrong motives. That's the Lord and Savior that we serve today. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that Father God, that you're on this road with us. And Lord, I know the road to some has been a long journey. It has been a trying journey. It's been rough. It's been rocky. There's been some ups and downs. There's been some bumps along the way. But Lord, nothing goes unnoticed with you. For Lord, you're on the road with us. Whether we're on a good road or whether we're on the bad road, Lord, you are there. And there, Lord, you're telling us by your Holy Spirit, in your Holy Spirit, and through your Holy Spirit to stay on the right road. And Father God, we know that the gate is wide, the road is narrower. And Father God, on that road, Lord, you want us to call upon you. On that road, Lord, you're wanting us to seek you, Father. For Lord, you are there with us, closer than a brother and a sister. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's someone here today, I never want to dismiss service without giving you an altar of invitation. Come to the altar and pray. I'll pray with you.